Over 5 million people play football in the USA, and here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 yards of football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 yards of football now.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football. And tonight is our legend segment. I'm your host, Bobby Butler. And tonight, we got another Delray Beach legend. Help me welcome former Atlantic High star, Bethune-Cookman star, head coach of Atlantic High, Chris Bean. Welcome to the show, brother.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, man.
My pleasure to be here.
Hey, listen, man, I've been doing this show now for a couple of years.
Right.
We started out going in a different direction. But, you know, I got a love for Delray Beach, man. And so I said, I need to get all my boys on this show, right? And just show, you know, the fruit of that little community, what we have in place. And, Chris, now, you graduated in the class of 87, 86, 87?
86.
86, okay. So you're a lot younger than me. Now, Right. Did you get a chance to watch me play high school ball at all?
Absolutely.
Okay, great, great. So what I always say, you know, it's amazing how you saw me play. I saw Anthony Penn play, right?
Right.
And, you know, how that thing in Delray just happens like that, man. You know, so much to be inspired by, especially in the game of football. You know, and it started years ago when Mr. Pompey started the football program at Carver High in 1944. And so it goes way back. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Man, I'm glad to have you on the show. So let me ask you a question, right? So most of us in Delray, in our generation, my generation after, had a chance to start playing organized ball with the Delray Rocks.
Correct.
And I'm quite sure that was your trek as well.
It was.
Mm-hmm. And so...
And sometimes we lose sight of the importance of the Rocks.
Absolutely.
Also went back. Now, my start in coaching football wasn't with Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Where you start?
It was at the Rocks.
Oh, really?
Okay, because when I left, my first year out of college, I came back and teamed up with Benny.
Okay, okay. All right. Okay.
Before I went to Atlanta, before I started working substitute at Atlanta High School. So it started with Benny, mm-hmm. You know, and just basically retracing my steps all over again.
Okay.
So,
man,
people don't know the importance of that and you know, how I see it. And I'm what you call one of these priceless loyalty guys. You know, I love the city of Delray, and you can't put a price on it.
You can't put a price on it, man. I tell you what, man. You know, I never wanted to, when I got drafted here in Atlanta, even though Atlanta's a great city, and I'm glad that we are here, but I never had any intentions of living here. Always wanted to go back home in that little community in the off season and just come up here during the season. But it just didn't make sense for me to do that. And they started, you know, having the off season programs with the NFL team. So I had to stay. But, man, I've always missed Delray. Delray is always in the forefront of my mind. It's always in my heart, man, you know. And so that's awesome. So I want to mention a couple of names to you. All right, so you got your start with the Rocks.
Right.
Buck Mitchell, thoughts?
Another one of my mentors.
Absolutely.
When I left Benny mm-hmm. from the middle team, mm-hmm. went up. I went up to bunk and basically kind of found my full potential as a football player, which, you know, I didn't know, I mean, how fierce of a tackler I was until I got the bump when he unleashed that animal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Understood that, hey, man, I can really just
you can do this thing.
Momentum of a football game by one tackle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Owens was my coach. I can't think of Owens' first name.
Okay.
Coach Owens. But anyway, I was used to playing corner. Okay. You know, I was on corner with Benny.
Uh-huh.
And they moved me to safety.
Mm-hmm.
And Owens, Coach Owens told me, said, hey, man, you know, it was Coach Owens and it was Vince Strong.
Vince Strong, okay.
Vince Strong coached the offense.
Right. Owens, okay. Mm-hmm.
Vince. Bunt was the head coach that was over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Owens said, hey, man, stop hesitating. You see the play.
Go get it.
Go get it.
Go get it. Wow.
So I was coming up, man. I was from the safety position like I was a linebacker.
I love it, man. I love it.
So I got full tilt. I was full tilt. I was full blast coming up.
You were coming forward.
I read run. I was full blast.
I love it, man. I love it.
You know.
That
brought a new mindset. Now, granted, you can't play that way today. With the
right, of course.
And but then it was like, okay, I'm you know, like I'm gonna take your soul.
I love it. So Chris, let me ask you this question. All right, so you started playing defense with the Rocks.
Right.
All right, okay. So now it's amazing now. Well, let me ask you this, because I know most of us play multiple positions.
Which I did.
I know you were an offensive player.
Yes, I was.
I know you were an offensive player. So with the Rocks, where did you start on the offensive side? You were
now, when I first started on the 90-pound,
mm-hmm.
I was blocking for people. They had me at guard.
All right. So now I understand that. All right. Okay.
they're gonna give you the full spectrum of football, make you appreciate
right.
that position.
Hey, you know,
when I first started, it was like I was with a guy named, you know, Coach Botcher.
Okay.
It was Major Graham.
Oh, okay. All right, now.
He like, you know, defensive end, mm-hmm. offensive guard,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then when I got to Benny,
mm-hmm.
I still had another year on the 90-pound.
Oh, okay.
But I skipped it because I didn't want to block them. Okay, I ain't all this. So I went up, and he gave me the football. He let me run it.
All right, okay.
I said, okay, bet.
All right.
You know.
Right.
So I went from blocking for people to running the football and playing cornerback. He said, I'm going to put you in the backfield, and I'm going to let you play corner.
All right. So let me ask you this question now. All right. So now, you started out on the line. So that's where you got that tenacity to be hitting that early.
Right.
One of the things, you know, I know for me, I've always been a little kid, right? And when I started dreaming about playing football, you know, it was always about the ball, right? It was always about, you know, what can I do with this ball? And even in the streets of Delray, when I played street ball, you know, it was always about throwing the football and catching the football for me,
right?
And so I never saw myself, because I was a tiny kid, I never even thought about defense, man. And so my story goes like this. Of course, my Bump Mitchell used to be the 80-pound coach.
Right.
Back in the old days. So he coached me. He was my first coach. But here's what he taught me. All right. So you have me, you have Van Williams, you have Bernard Parker.
Right.
You have P. Nanny, right? And right. You had Nelson McMurray. We were the backfield. He started me out at quarterback in the beginning. And then, you know, back then we didn't have no passing game, right? It was all about running the ball. And so instead of me playing quarterback, he moved me to the backfield, and we brought the plays in. So it's about four of us, man, who was bringing plays in. And so I was the fastest at that time, you know, and not only just a straight line speed guy, I can break it down, you know, open field. And so I just thought, you know, I led the team in scoring touchdowns, right? So I thought, well, I don't need to block. Just give me the ball. Everybody else can block. Right. Coach, just give me the ball. I mean, you know, I'm 10 years old, right? That was my mindset. Man, one day in practice, I didn't make a block. Bumped to the offense, go get in the huddle. He made me stand right next to him. He got the ball. He hit me in my gut, knocked the wind out of me. I went down on a knee. You know, he said, get up. And I got up. He said, now this is what we're going to do. He looked at the defense. He said, look, I'm going to blow the whistle. He said, I want all y'all to hit him. He said, I want all 11 of y'all to hit him. He looked at me and he said, you better not fall down. So here we go, Chris. You blow the whistle. They all jump. Bah, 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 bah. Again. You gave the ball again. Bah, 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 bah. The third time, I'm crying, right? Tears coming up my eyes. And so the third time, he said, now, son, you ready to block now? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So here's what I learned that day. Football, this game of football ain't got nothing to do with me individually.
Right.
I better do my part. Or I'm going to have to deal with this kind of stuff.
Right.
The rest of my life.
Right.
So I learned early, this is not about you, son. This is not about you. And so those life lessons, man, I mean, those things carried me. You know, and I can tell you every coach who coached me what they gave me. But that's what Bump Mitchell gave me. You know, this is not about you. This is a team game. It's the ultimate team game. And you got to play your part. When your part is that you got to do this, you got to do that.
Right, right, right. And I was taught that early. You know, mm-hmm. right out the gate.
Yes, hey, sir.
You're going to block. But it was a culture that, because, you know, I had different roles. You know, working for the city
right.
as well, the school system, I had different mm-hmm. roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a chance to be over the rocks one time
mm-hmm.
When I left Atlantic Coaching.
Okay.
You know, I was the athletic director at Pompeii.
Okay.
So I come to find out, all right, you know, over time,
mm-hmm.
this rock thing, it's not the same family-oriented.
Right.
You know, the things have changed. People have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand how it used to work. They don't have an appreciation for the family element that
you used to have. Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, things change, people change.
Mm-hmm.
And time brings about those things. So
right. Absolutely.
It went full circle for me, man. I've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing even with Atlantic football
right.
because mm-hmm. these younger guys, now I call it open borders.
Hey. You know,
where yeah. they're regulating where you live or where you come
right.
from,
right.
whatever.
Right.
And it's like, I never coached when I was at Atlantic. I never coached like that.
Right, exactly.
It's like, hey, man, you need to go to guidance.
Right.
What you live, what your situation is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But before you come this way with me,
mm-hmm.
you need to clear that with them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man.
And I'm not calling no kid. I wasn't believing that.
Right.
I've had my own players.
Right.
Hey, it's a kid at Lake Worth. No, I don't do that. I called Coach Lowe one time. Well, Lowe was the coach at Lake Worth. Hey, low man, look at this. Look here. Mm-hmm. My guys are trying to recruit one of your players.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Your big boy, your all conference,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
all American
right.
guard and defense right. tackle. They right. trying to get him.
Uh-huh.
Now it's up to you to keep him from
coming down. Right, exactly.
Or his family moving. I don't know what his family. I think his family situation was a little financially better than
right.
you.
Right. So,
they'll move to get the kid where they want
to go. Right, exactly.
But I don't want parts of that.
Okay? Let me ask you a question. When did that start? You know, because during our time, I mean, nobody was doing that, you know?
It started with the push of private schools.
Okay.
The push with your St. Thomas, with the success, the overwhelming success of St.
Okay.
Thomas.
Okay.
Your overwhelming success with other schools coming. And then you had DeWire becoming a super school
mm-hmm.
on the north end.
Right.
lot of kids were basically just finding they were there.
Right.
Wow. You know, what was their situation? A lot of them financially can move in that area.
Right, right, exactly.
Say, I'm going to the best coach in the best,
right, you know, right.
That's best program.
Right, right.
And kids was just flocking, or they'll go to American Heritage and DLA or whatever. And even my situation, I had to compete with American Heritage.
Wow. That's crazy, man.
And I'm the type of guy, I believe in my coaching staff and me, I'm into developing people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I used to tell them, I said, hey, go over there, find out what, you know, what's like. Go see it.
Right, right.
I encourage you, but I'm going to tell you what's the best place for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've had kids go to Pope.
Mm-hmm.
I had a kid go to Pope on me to a wing T option, whatever type game from a wide open passing game.
Wow.
So if you my third receiver
who's
getting 30 balls.
Right, exactly.
On the season, 40 balls maybe.
Right.
And you go to a place where you're lucky to get 10.
Exactly.
It made no sense to me.
It don't make sense, right, exactly.
And see, if, for the folks who understand the history of it, when I went from the defensive side of the football to the offensive side of the football at Atlantic coaching, and I had my nephew as the quarterback, and I had his godbrother as one of the receivers.
Okay.
AJ caught 94 balls in a year.
Wow. Bruh.
You got pros don't do that.
Thank you.
granted, we had playoffs and everything.
Right.
But it was still.
Wow. Man, that's production right there.
But the next guy had 60.
Exactly. And even your third and fourth guy's got to have 20, 30.
Yeah. David Kleiner was the third. And that guy, David, was the third guy. He had 39.
Wow.
Tony Rollinson had 29.
Wow, man, that's a lot of balls.
We was throwing it all over the place. Over 1,200 yards passing in the playoffs alone. 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Wow.
People don't understand how prolific of an offense that was. What Omar was putting up. And I was like, you know, I had just went over, but it was me and Bill on the offensive side of the football. I was the passing coordinator.
Okay.
So when I came up that whole summer, I spent designing and putting in motion packages and trying to get mismatches in certain areas and putting route combinations together.
Right.
Choose the secondary.
And
them boys went Monday through Thursday for 2 hours for an entire summer.
Wow.
Okay.
That's strong. Y'all put it together, man.
Woo! Boy, when we hit the ground, we hit the ground running.
Because I tell you, Omar put up some numbers, man. You know, I don't know who it was who called me and said, look, man, they got a quarterback down here, man. You ain't nothing. They don't even know your name no more. I said, who is that? And then, you know, of course, and I spoke with you talking about Omar. I mean, it's amazing. And he was a big kid, too, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Now, so we talk about, I was talking to somebody earlier today from Delray about quarterback. And he asked me a question about playing quarterback in college. I said, you know, I really wanted to do that. But I said, you know what? It worked out for me. I said, because think about it. When I left Atlantic, when I went to FSU, I weighed 145 pounds, Chris.
Right.
People don't know that, right? I only weighed 145 pounds. And I said, you know what? But as a freshman, on occasion, I got a chance to run scout team for the first team defense, and I would thrash them, right? Matter of fact, I had them on the show a couple months ago, seniors, my freshman year at Florida State.
Right.
A lot of defensive players, and they said, man, bro, we couldn't stop you, right? But I think back, being 145 pounds, getting that blindside edge rusher, and taking a lick, bruh. I wasn't built for that.
Right.
Now, you take Omar, he was prototype.
6'4",
prototype.
210, I think he was
in high school, right?
Yeah.
Golly. I mean, that's monster size. I mean, so he's looking over the line because as you go up in the game, now you're going to go to college where everybody up front is 6'4", 6'5". And then you get the lead. You got a lot of 6'6", 6'7"s up there in front. You got to look over that to throw that ball downfield.
Right.
So, you know, you ask the question with, like, when Michael Vick was playing, why was he running around? Well, sometimes he had to see.
He had to see.
Right. he couldn't see, right?
You had to get in those passing lanes. You got to run to that passing lane.
Okay. So
you get an open guy.
Exactly. So what y'all did, man, when you were coaching Omar, y'all put that thing together, man. That was special.
But see, when you know, I had Bill with me, mm-hmm. and every night, and Andre was there with the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I had the secondary there, so the secondary guys was getting
right.
And you know, we would spend so much time, but people didn't understand the time we put in to get to that point. So
yeah.
When we went from, you know, I think we was 8-2. We was the last team to get in the playoffs.
Okay.
And from the last team to get to the playoffs to going to state semifinals.
Okay.
You know,
wow.
A bad quarter away from going to the state game.
Wow, man.
And they don't understand the time that we put in.
Right.
This guy. But right. Not only for me, it was special for me because I helped raise him.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Right. Didn't understand the connection and why that connection worked.
Right. And so you were using his ear constantly.
He was in my house.
Right. Exactly.
So he grew up with that. And I watched him grow up and I watched him do things. I used to tell my sister Barbara, I said, that's not normal.
Normal. Right. Exactly.
For his age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I took him outside at age 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
18 months, 2 years, and through, he had one of the plastic bats and a little wiffle plastic ball.
Right.
And I was tossing it to him, and he was just slapping it. And I'm looking at this kid like, you're not supposed to be able to do this.
Do that at that age, absolutely.
Right, so it was like, you know.
Right, so he had a God-given ability.
He had a God-given, and understanding that and putting that to football and putting that relationship of his friends,
right?
People he spent time with anyway,
right?
To get the results that we did,
right? Well, one of the things I can say, and I don't know the guys who Omar played with, but I know Delray, right?
Right.
And so I know we got talent everywhere, on every street, on the north side, the south side, every we got talent, right? And so
under publicized talent.
Under publicized talent now. Let's think about that now.
Because, you know, I get the envious on how Belgrade and Pokey, you know, get all this publicity and ride by. They'll get on 95 and go down to Miami or Lauderdale, St. Thomas, and ride by the accomplishments that's done in this city called Delray. Because if you say, for instance, when you guys were playing, mm-hmm. If we don't have a Boca High or integration, you know,
mm-hmm.
mandatory integration busing, it's a championship every year for Atlanta.
Exactly. But Chris, you know, it's amazing, right? So since I've been doing this show, I've learned a lot about the time, prehistoric time, so to speak, before Penn play, right?
Right.
All I can tell you about is Anthony Penn. I can tell you about the 68-69 Carver High football team. They won back-to-back state titles, right? Right. Yeah, I knew Red Odom played football at Carver, but I didn't know nothing about them, right?
I heard stories. I get the...
Listen, bro, let me tell you something. Matter of fact, one night I had Penn, Randy Strong, Greg Dobson. I mean, I had the GOATs on, right? I had them all on there, right?
Yeah.
And I had them on the show. And Big Daddy Hunt was all of them on the show at the same time. And we were talking, man. And, you know, and I'm talking to these guys. You know, my eyes still like this. I'm still a little, every time I talk to those guys, I'm still a little kid, man, right? I go back to that place. And then as we were doing the show, somebody texts or put a message in the thing. Mr. Pompton, Bobby, I don't know if they're the best team Carver ever had. You know, I'm like, what? are you talking about, right? These guys, they put up that. I don't know if they were the best, but Mr. Pompey had some teams, right? And so I heard that, but then again, I got some information, and I need to see this information. You'll love this. Mr. Pompey put together a collection of data from 1944 to 64, the years he was involved with the athletic program at Carver.
Right.
You're going to see some names in this document that you've been seeing drive around their rate that you never knew what they used to do or what they did at Carver High School. Just blew me away. You know, guys like Dusty Evans. I never knew Dusty was like one of the greatest quarterbacks.
I heard that.
In Carver High history, right? You know, you'll find out about Bump. Bump was a dynamic quarterback, right?
Right.
Tucker
was well documented.
Oh, man, he was the guy. He was a guy. But then you'll find out by guys like Sonny Chaney, right?
Right.
Joe Chaney, older brother. You know, I'm just telling you, man. And then you find out about Oswell Baldwin. You know, these guys were unbelievable. Now, you know, I knew about guys like Bubba Tucker. You know, you're going to know about Bubba Tucker, right?
Right.
Bubba Tucker was the original. he was the original GOAT, right? And then, I don't know if you remember James Homer.
Yeah, I do. I worked with Homer.
Homer was a monster, man. And so you go back and, you know, a Red Ivy that lived over there on 13th, you know.
Right.
Monster football player. So you'll get to see Jake Pullum. You know, guy, you get guy like, man, they were what? And so you get all this information, man. You know, and it's like, it's really blessed me, you know, because our history, our tradition speaks for itself. You know, since the beginning of time. My uncle, who I'm named after, Bobby Butler, right?
Yeah.
Bobby was the first all-conference center at Carver High. He was a center. Like, dude, I didn't know all this stuff, right? So I'm going to get that to you so you can go through it one day. But let's get back to you, man. Let's get back to you. All right, so now, at Atlantic, you play corner.
I play corner.
You were the first prime time.
I wouldn't call it that, but.
well, let me tell you this. I don't know. I wasn't there, Chris. You know, I was in when your time, I was here in Atlanta. Now, they told me now. When you came out the locker room, you put your uniform on. Now they told me, now you
look the part.
Huh? You look the part.
I look the part. Now I'm gonna be pretty. I'm gonna be dressed.
Hey, you know what pride? You know what pride say? You look good. You what?
You play good.
You play good.
Man, I'm gonna put on a fashion statement every time I come out the locker room.
All right. So you were the original pride. So let's go back a little bit. We're going to talk about the cornerback position at Atlantic, first and foremost, right? So I want to make it clear to everybody. I never played corner at Atlantic High School. I was a safety at Atlantic High School, right?
Right.
So
I played some safety. I got moved around.
Okay. So you played everything in the secondary, pretty much.
I played everything in the secondary, yes.
Okay. So now, the first corner, what I call the real corner, right? Now, we got a lot of great athletes come through that now.
Right.
And guys who listen to this show, don't feel slighted. I'm just going to name a few, right? Charles Cornelius.
Right. See, I know Charles because I'm a Dolphin fan. I'm not just a Dolphin fan. I'm a Dolphin fanatic.
Fanatic, okay.
I love my Dolphins, and I'm moving. I'm not going nowhere. I don't care how many games we lose. I don't care how bad we're doing.
You're still with them, Doc.
Still a Dolphin fan.
All right.
I watch Charles play, but mm-hmm. I also know where Charles come from because he came from my alma mater.
That's right.
Okay. So understanding the history, a lot of kids, I kind of want to get them to understand who came before you, and they don't do that now.
They lose track
of the people that came before and appreciate the folks that paved the way for you to do what you do.
Absolutely.
Now, Charles played at Bethune,
mm-hmm.
and was a hell of a defensive cornerback.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay. So I knew that already, you know. And I understood the guys mm-hmm. that came, that played my position mm-hmm. at Atlanta that came before me.
Okay.
So under no certain terms I ever thought I was at the prime mentality. My job when I played was to get my hands on you because I'm not the fastest guy. I'm what you call the Everson got walls type of dude.
Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. Cool. All right.
But I understood I'm cat quick. Mm-hmm. I know how to move my hands, I know how to move my hips.
There you go.
And I had good feet.
Well let me tell you that, what you just said right there.
Right. See,
here's why, Chris, with me, right? I'm so old school now. Now, I had great athletic ability. I can outrun most people, right? In 1981, I was the fastest guy in the NFL draft, right, in the 40.
Right.
So I could do all that. I can jump. My vertical and my long jump was crazy, right? I had all that, right? But Everson Walls, all right, we were in the same class.
Right, Grambling.
Class of 81.
Right.
Now, remember, Everson didn't get drafted out of college. A lot of people don't know that. But listen, he led the league my rookie year in interceptions. He led the league. But now, Everson is nice now. When I say nice, he got nice size. He's 6'2". He buck 95 coming out of college.
Right.
I'm 5'11", 155 pounds coming out of college. Right? It's a different thing.
Right.
And Everson knew how to get this, just like you're talking about. Because when you don't have the speed, your technique has got to be sound.
That's the point.
You got to be sound, right? And you mentioned something earlier that, man, I'm just checking. I'm putting check marks on you, right? Because I believe when you play in corner, if you don't get your hands on receivers,
right.
You might as well go play something else.
Yeah, they're going to do you in.
You might as well go play something else. You got to – I don't care how fast you are. You see, because people don't understand, Chris, with these hands, you can throw off the timing of the receiver. And sometimes that's all you need, just a little bit, right, to throw the timing off.
I understood that in high school.
Wow, that's strong, bro. That's
so strong. When I used to go up in their face.
Wow.
Okay, and let you know, hey, bro, this is going to be all game long. This is what they ain't have no clue that I wasn't that fast.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Hey, they have to know.
And then I had a little dude, we were playing Twin Lakes, slip by me mm-hmm. and caught one underneath me.
Uh-huh, okay.
So we caught the ball up underneath me.
Right.
And he pissed me off because I wasn't used to nobody catching no ball on me.
Balls on you, right, exactly.
So the next play, they were running the football. He wasn't paying attention. I went straight through him.
You wiped them out.
I wiped them out. It's more game than you just running routes and catching balls.
Thank you. There you go.
So my job, he was a freshman. I was a senior.
Uh-huh.
My job is to take your heart. I got to take
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You get that, it's done. The game over.
He was done. Once I did him, like, he was done.
He
caught that one ball, and that was it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I was good. I was like, okay, my job done for tonight.
Well, some people don't understand. In football in general, there's a psychology in the game, right? But when you're playing corner, bruh, you got to be a master psychologist.
And you got to have a strong will.
You got to have a strong will. Right. And you got to have a short memory.
Short, very short.
Very short memory, right?
Right.
You know what I should do in the league, man? You know what I should do in the league? If you catch a ball on me, I may just go up to you and say, bro, that's the last ball you're going to catch today, right? That was typical of me. Bro, right. That's it. Now, anybody who got anything to them, they're going to say something back to you. They're going to challenge you. Now, when they do that, Chris, we got it going now, right?
Right.
That's what I need to get stirred up, right? You're not going to catch them on the day, and we're going to battle. Me and Jerry Rice had some of the greatest battles of all time. I was on him, Chris, with these right here.
Yeah, you got to put your
hand. I was on him. I was on him. And so, all right. So now we talked about Charles Cornelius.
Right.
Let's talk about this guy right here, Mo Wesley.
I was, you know, when I came to the games during your time,
uh-huh.
they had me sitting in the stands.
Okay. With,
I was still young. I couldn't get it.
You can wander about.
And then people used to be in my way.
Mm-hmm.
Game. They want to up and chill. You know, I'm watching the game. And I'm a little dude. I'm still watching the game. And I even, you know, Mo used to play corner, but I really didn't watch him at corner position.
Right.
Most of the time when I watched Mo, when he was giving the, you know, 529.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was him.
You know,
that was him.
Yeah, and he hit that corner.
Bruh.
And you lose him for a minute because you know he's short.
He's short, right.
And he stand up on that sideline and he's gone. You know, that's what I envisioned with Mo, but never really had a chance to really saw him play defense.
Well, let me say this about him. First and foremost, forget playing cornerback. The best athlete I ever played with in my life until 1989 when Deion was drafted.
Right.
Mo Wesley was the greatest athlete I ever played with. All through nobody on my college team was Mo Wesley.
Well, you know, I coached baseball with Mo on the JV level.
Okay.
At Atlanta.
Okay.
I was a terrible baseball player. played for Red Oldham League, you know.
And you played for Red and you was not good?
No, I played for his league. I didn't.
Okay, you didn't play for Red. All right.
Wrong team, but he was still over the league.
Right, okay.
And I only could pitch, man.
Okay.
That's all I had for you.
Right.
First of all, I ain't like batting because I ain't like no ball coming at me.
Coming at you. Right. I'm with you.
I was a little foreign for that. When I grew up on 10th and used to play with, you know, the bigger people, my sister.
Right.
Because I was the youngest on the street.
Right.
So we were throwing footballs. You know, we were playing football. They were throwing footballs. And they'd play four squares or something.
Right.
Football, four squares. That was the most that's been.
Right.
So,
wow.
With no baseball. Right. I wasn't baseball. And then I liked the basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Those are two sports I really was into was basketball.
Right. Well, I tell you, let me tell you something about Mo Wesley. He played 1 year varsity football. But let me tell you what he did in that 1 year. On offense, at that wing back, he rushed for over 1,000 yards. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm a junior because he's a year ahead of me. I'm a junior. I'm a starting quarterback. That first year I started as a quarterback was my junior year. And Mo rushed for 1,000 yards. But the dude behind me, the fullback, on his birth certificate, his name is Elijah Davis. We call him Mutt Lee.
Right. Oh, Mutt.
We call him Mutt Soul, right? He rushed for 1,000. So in our backfield, we had two 1,000-yard rushers. So when me and Steve Knees, when the ball was thrown downfield, we were throwing for money. I mean, forget first down. We were throwing for money.
You got that? In the box.
Hey, we got nine in the box. We throwing for money. And, you know, Steve Knee is one of the greatest athletes I ever played with as well, right? Now, you think about Mo Wesley, all right? So Mo rushed for 1,000 on offense. Now, I played left safety for Atlantic back then, right, which always ended up being the strong safety most of the time. Mo was a left corner to my side, right? So we got all the action. Everybody's right-handed. They're coming our way, right?
Right.
Mo had 10 picks. Chris, he was so good. Listen at this now. He was so good. I used to look at that and go, man, I don't know how he's doing that. He was so good. I never thought, I'm going to be honest with you. I was glad I was playing safety because I don't want to be out there in open space like that. You know, and he was good at it, right? On top of that, he had 4 punt returns for touchdown.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, man, everywhere I played with Mo Wesley, basketball team, he's one of the best basketball players we had.
Yeah, I watched Mo play basketball.
He's one of the best baseball players at Atlantic back in the day, right? And then when we got the baseball game and the track meet lined up, he going to come give us points. And he'll run anything from the 100 to the quarter. Now, you don't run that quarter, you need to be in track shape.
Yes.
They'll put Mo on the 4x4. Mo go out there with Don Monroe and Steve Cornelius. Well, they was magic. I'm just telling. So he was the guy. In my opinion, in my generation, Mo West is the GOAT.
He helped put Coach Harris in the Track Hall of Fame.
That's right. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I'm gonna tell you something else about Mo Wesley. Mo Wesley was an all county, what do they call that thing? Cross country. Now, he did everything. All kind of cross country.
Well, you know, me and Mo, and that's the beauty of mm-hmm. me coming back to Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And because me and Mo was together, because he was a head baseball coach for the JV. Okay. I was assistant.
Right.
So we used to take these trips, you know, driving from place to place.
It's place, right.
So I got educated on my history dealing with him, because he used to talk about baseball with Keith Washington and him.
Washington, Jeff Morrison.
Guys in the baseball with Absolutely. Jerome, and which I knew Jerome and Gus and all them, you know, how solid they were baseball players. And I watched him play basketball because, you know, I'm real close with Reggie and Tony.
Oh, right, uh-huh.
So I came to games with Coach Dobot.
Okay.
You know, so I was there anyway with them. So I'm watching the game, so I had a chance to watch,
mm-hmm.
you know, with him and Jap and at the guards. And
right. Exactly.
You know, I had a chance to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
But Mo was just unbelievable, because I never get into saying baseball because I wasn't a baseball guy. But stories that he used to tell me, how he used to jump over the fence from baseball game
and
run track. And I'm looking at him like, man, ain't too many people doing that, bro.
Ain't too many people doing it, but he was doing it, bro. And I'm telling you, he did it well. I mean, he wasn't over there just participating, bro. He was giving us points. Because, you know, our track team was the best in Palm Beach County when we were in high school, right? I mean, we were beating everybody. Pahokee and Belgrade, it was just like our football team. We didn't play. You know, John Lyle Leonard would have 100 distant runners.
They had no sprinters, though.
They had no sprinters. But now, we had a guy named Mike Fronzo. He was in Mo's class. He gonna win the mile and 2 miles. Bro, we had everything. Mike Major, I don't know if you ever knew Mike Major. He was a small guard. He played guard for us. He's from Boynton.
I remember.
Mike Major. So everybody was trying to get on the track team. I mean, it was like a thing, right? It was like being a part of the Delray Rocks. Everybody wanted to be with the Delray Rocks. They wanted to play for Rock.
Right.
Everybody wanted to be on our track team. So here we got Mike Major, 165-pound offensive guard, right? Trying to find a place on the track team. So Coach Harris put him in the half mile, 880.
8-8, right.
And of course, he couldn't do that, right? And so we laugh at him, pick at him. One day in practice, he picked up the pole vault. Chris, from the day that day he picked that pole vault up,
launched it.
We got 10 points in the pole vault every meet except state. Didn't lose until he got to state. Found his lane, man, and got that pole started running, putting the ground. Go. We got them 10 points every week. So we had people wanting to be involved with our track team, but we had people who came in not knowing what they wanted to do, but they found themselves within the track team, right? And so it was a special time, man, you know. And back in those days, man, we didn't even have a bus ride home from Atlantic. Basketball practice, we had a bus ride. Football practice, nobody came and picked us up. We had to find our way back home.
Yeah, because, yeah.
All right?
We're going to do some overtime.
We're going to 7-Eleven and sit on the corner at 7-Eleven and thump.
Right.
All right, somebody from Boynton to be coming through, taking us to there, right?
Right.
And then in track was the same way. We ain't had no bus. But everybody was out there just being a part. It was a special time, man. It was different. It was different. And so our baseball team was solid, you know, with Jerome Burgess, Mo, Jeff Morrison, right. Keith Washington. I mean, I can just go, Lil Jap, Bozo Pratt, all those guys for years. Right. The Titwell brothers, Danny and Dwight.
Right.
Great baseball players, man. So, you know, they're
Titwells.
The Titwells. Danny and Dwight.
Play golf, right, too?
No, they didn't play golf. Well, now, I don't know. Maybe they did. I don't know. We had a golf team back then on the team. I'm not sure. But I know they were great baseball players. You know, Danny Titwell was a quarterback the year they played for first state championship my freshman year in high school. You know, he was a quarterback on that team with Luther Mosley and Jim Fisher. Okay. He was the quarterback on that team. Very athletic guy. Very athletic, right? So, man, you know, we got that tradition. So talking about – so when I talk about Mo, so I go Charles Cornelius, then I got Mo Wesley.
Right.
And then we got you at corner, right? And I'm going to ask you about one more corner. And I don't know if you coached him or not. Brandon Flowers. Did you coach Brandon?
Yeah, they were – I was still – when those guys – Thad took over when he came, and I went to offense.
Okay, all right, okay, all right. Okay.
So okay. Thad had them the last 2 years. I caught them on the first 2 years.
Okay.
So they had some good coaching, okay? Because when I caught them, they got the feet. The footwork drills, it was like, man, it was like, I can tell you in one drill, if you're going to be playing within that year. And right. It didn't matter if you was a freshman coming straight out of middle school or a senior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I had a kid, I'm going to tell you right now, Johnny McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny, you know, white kids don't play corner.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm.
All right, white kid. Johnny, 150 pounds maybe. 5'9".
Five nine. Right, right.
5'7". I'm giving him some. I saw this kid. He came out.
Mm-hmm.
All he ever played was Sandlot.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sandlot with the Haitian kids over at Barrick Park.
Right, right. Okay. All right.
I put my man through the drills, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I looked, I'm saying, I'm like, whoa.
All right.
I looked at him. And Bobby wasn't that fast.
Right, right, right. Okay. But
that quick.
It was that quick. Quick lightning.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And he had feet.
Wow.
And I looked at him. I said, you don't know this, Johnny. But before the year out,
right,
you will be starting.
Wow.
You talking about a kid coming from middle school.
Right, 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 right. Wow.
I told him before the year out, you will.
Oh, wow, man. That's strong right there.
And guess where he started at?
Where?
Ely.
Really?
In Pompano.
What? What? What?
I put him out there with
him. Hey, that's the Lions then, bro.
I put him straight out there.
Oh, what?
He became an all-conference, first-team, all-area defensive back his junior year.
Wow, that's amazing. But, you know, you said something that's key. And see, you know, when I'm talking football with people, you know when people know the game, right?
Right.
When I was playing the Falcons, as the years start to go by, and we start to draft corners every year, right? So, you know, they were trying to replace all the old guys, which that's what they do, right?
Right.
And so they drafted Deion in 89, right? So Deion came in. That was my ninth season when Deion came in as the rookie. So then we played a couple years. Then we got a guy. Deion was the fifth player selected in the NFL draft in the first
round. Right.
All right. So the first day Prime came to camp, you know, all I would do when they draft these guys high, Chris, first day of practice, I'm looking for the story. You know, because the story is going to be told,
right,
in the first practice, and the way it's going to be told is your feet. If you got good footwork, okay, all right, but you ain't got it. I know. Oh, they done messed up money now, right?
Yeah.
So we had a kid come in 2 years after Deion, man, and I watched his feet the first day, and I mean, he was like the third player selected overall in the whole NFL draft, and I go, man, they done made a mistake. And they did. So when you can look at somebody's footwork, it tells the story. Because the thing about playing in the secondary, especially at corner, bruh, can't have no wasted steps. Your feet got to be impeccable. You got feet, bruh. Forget speed, feet, bruh. And so you got a guy with good feet, man, bruh. It's a wrap.
You got to change your directions. Mm. Your feet have to be quick enough to change directions.
Change directions. I call it like this. I would say this to people. Your feet got to have a mind of his own.
Right.
You know, got to put them down. Bruh, your feet got to have a mind of his own. And if you haven't developed that, if you don't have that, bruh, I can't use you. Not out wide. We make you find another place for you.
Yeah.
But out wide, bruh, we can't make no mistakes out there.
Well, yeah. It was just like, you know, I watch the draft. I go through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. My wife, they just like, man, what is wrong? I look at track. I watch baseball.
Right,
football.
Right.
I watch basketball. I look at golf.
Right.
I watch racing. I don't care what it is that's on. I even watch a little soccer if that's all you're going to get.
That's all you're going to get.
Okay? I can watch it all.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the draft, and the kid from USC, he played safety.
Okay.
And I can't think his name right offhand.
Mm-hmm.
He was upset because his coach, the coach at Seattle, okay.
Coach Carroll
didn't draft him.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But I'm watching the cut-ups. So at safety, I have become a what you call a master analyst.
Right, absolutely.
So I'm watching angles. I'm watching how you basically, you know, fill the alley. Mm-hmm. What's the angles on you filling the alley? How you force the guy, okay? Mm-hmm. Which way you force him, you know? Mm-hmm. And you always have to be a half step behind when you
feel behind. Right.
You have to be a half step behind because if you're not a half step behind, you're going to overrun the play.
You're going to overrun the play every time.
He's going to cut back on you.
Absolutely.
So I basically understand this, you know, understood this, playing this position and also studying the position.
Absolutely.
And I watched this kid talking about, oh, why he didn't get drafted first round with the Seahawks. Coach, I let him down. He probably
right.
First of all, he had terrible hips.
He did.
Okay. And he didn't understand the concepts of playing a position and how to control your body, to speed up, slow down, you know, how to fill the alley properly.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the NFL. He was overrunning everything.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Folks was getting behind him. I mean, he wasn't filling the alley right. And I'm why should he have drafted him?
Well, let me tell you somebody, Key. I know exactly who you're talking about now, right? Because he played with Bryce. My son was out there. He was a, I think he was a senior when Bryce was a freshman out there.
Right.
And he straight line 40 time. He was a 4-2 guy.
Matter of fact. Oh, he's fast now.
Matter of fact, when my son Bryce went to SC as a true freshman, he was the second fastest on the team behind this guy. You know? And so, and he was that. He was a robot, right? He was a robot.
He was big, fast.
Big, fast. But what?
Not athletic, but, you know.
But what he thought, what he didn't know, the defense he played on in college was a super defense, right? All right, so you take him out of the game, they're not going to miss a beat because who you got up front? You got Ray Maluga in the middle. You got Clay Matthews on one defensive end, outside linebacker. You got Brian Cushion, the other outside linebacker. So you got an all-pro defensive team. You got about 4 or 5 guys on that defense who are all pros in the NFL.
Right.
In the next few years. And he's playing the middle. So he was getting away with murder. He wasn't really getting called out, right? Because I remember we had just started to go out there and see Bryce play and all that kind of stuff. And bam, you know, and they kept talking about him. I'm looking at him play. I'm going like, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, so you value that too. And so, and see, I'm like that too. I study the game. You know, I can look at tape. Or I just look at the games different, Chris. And I think for me, it started just playing quarterback as a kid. You know, and I look at the game a little differently. And then the guy who coached me at Florida State, defense coordinator and DB coach Jack Stanton, was a filmaholic, right?
Right.
So we're gonna be in that film room all day, all night. I mean, even when we ate lunch at Florida State, I had to watch a half a reel of film with a graduate assistant. So I get my lunch. I gotta go study tape while I eat my lunch, right? And so then you learn, and then a guy coached me in the NFL named Fred Bruning, who really taught me how to break it down, right? And then the game got so easy, you know. And it came to a point when I couldn't run no more. When I couldn't run no more, it didn't matter. Just like we were talking earlier. You know, if you're fundamentally sound, you know, you don't have to be a 4.2, 4.3. You don't even have to be a 4.7 guy.
Right.
If you're fundamentally sound, you know. And so the value in the fundamentals of the game, the basic fundamentals of the game. And if you got good footwork along with that, and you want to study the game, you love the game enough, you want to study the game, bruh, I want that guy. That's the guy I want.
Right.
I want that guy, right?
A lot of people didn't understand. They talking about, Mike runs, you know, Mike plays safety for me.
Right.
He didn't play corner.
He didn't play corner for you. Exactly.
I had Mike as a freshman. Mike started the second half of the season as a freshman.
Wow.
All the way till he was a senior.
Wow.
I told him, you will be great when you see the game through my eyes.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He saw the game through my eyes his sophomore year.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
He came on. He started filling the alley properly.
Yeah.
Okay. And I never forget this conversation I had with Coach Ogeron. Mm-hmm. Ogeron was recruiting Keith Bryant at USC. Ogeron was at USC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking. Mm-hmm. Ogeron said, Coach, I just have to know. He said, you coach DBs. Uh-huh. Right? You're the head coach, but you coach DBs.
Right.
He said, I got to know this one thing. I always say all my DBs when I run by them, I want to know this question. I give them this question to find out if they really know what they're talking about.
Right, okay.
He says, if you are at safety and you had an opportunity, you get there the same time as the ball at safety with a guy running a post route, what do you do? He asked me, what do I do? Excellent question, Coach. I wait for the answer. I said, well, Coach, to give you the correct answer is, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to prefer the man. I want to knock the hell out of him because I'm sending a message. You go through the
man
to the football.
To the football, right.
If you get there to the man before the football, you take the football.
Right.
If you get there the same time, you take the man.
You take the man, exactly.
Okay. He said, man, that's beautiful.
Hey, I can hear Coach all right now.
That's how you play it.
That's how you play it, right?
Anything less than that, you're going to fail.
Right, exactly.
Man, I watched Lott do it.
Oh, man.
Listen. I watched Tatum do it.
Yeah.
Tatum was more so just a man, I mean, but well, I watched
Tatum was the man. He was the man. Now, right. And you know, Ronnie and I are in the same class, right? Kenny Easley, Dennis Smith, we're all in the same draft, right?
Joy Browner. People forget about old Joy Browner.
Yeah, Joy Browner was nice.
He was nice.
He was nice. But, you know, Kenny Easley, Ronnie Lott really overshadowed Kenny Easley, right? And Kenny Easley was the best safety.
He was a big old dude.
In our class, right? So Kenny Easley played quarterback in high school, by the way. But and when the draft came that year, right? You know, George Rogers was the first one selected in our draft.
Right.
Followed by Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor was the second guy drafted, right? In that draft. Then Freeman McNeil, I think, was the third pick from UCLA running back.
Right.
And then next thing you know, here we go, Ronnie Lott. And next thing you know, in his top 10, Dennis Smith. See, Dennis Smith and Ronnie Lott played at Southern Cal at the same time. And both of those safeties went in the top 10 at one college. Think about that, right? And so then you had those three safeties in the first 10. You had Easley, Ronnie Lott, and Dennis Smith all in the top 10. And then at the back of the first round, you had a guy from Tarpon Springs named Ted Watts. He didn't have a great pro career, but he was a talented guy. We played in a high school all-star game together. But he went to Texas Tech to college. And then you had me and Hanford Dixon, right? And Hanford and I were truly the number one and number two corners in the country that year.
Right.
And so the corners were at the back end of the first, and those guys went up top. But when you talk about those guys, you're talking about major, major guys who understood the game and played it the right way. Ronnie Lott would time up those hits. He would time them up, bro.
Yes.
I've never seen Ronnie. Now, listen at this now. And we know he was looking for collisions, right? I've never seen Ronnie get there early, too early.
I've never seen him get there too early. And I watched easily when he was at Seattle. I watched again. Mm-hmm. And beast. I mean.
Oh, man. You don't get no better than those two right there. You don't get no better than those two right there.
But, and it's like, okay, this is some big time football.
Hey, man, listen. I mean, and then if you're watching it the right way. And here's the thing that gets you too, man, Chris. It always get me, right? Because I'm a little guy. I've always been a little guy, right? Right. When you see guys do it the right way and they got size, man, that's it's special. You know, when you think a guy is so big where you can just outrun him and you can't, you know, and he's big enough, he's so physical, you know, he can do everything in the game. I mean, he can come down the box if you need him there. I mean, he can play anywhere. Run, and you call those guys football players. They were just great football players, right? In my class, we had Mike Singletary, Howie Long, Dexter Manley. I mean, I can go on and on. Eric Wright, Ricky Jackson from Pahokee. We're all in the same class, man. You know, Everson Walls didn't even get drafted. Daron Cherry, you remember Daron Cherry? Yeah. Didn't even get drafted from Rutgers. You know, all pro guys never get drafted, right?
Daron played with Kansas City.
Kansas City, he played the Chiefs. Right.
Number 20.
Yep, that's him. You got it. So all those guys, man, you know, it was special. But then when you get a chance to see guys do it the right way, now here I go now, and you come back to little Delray Beach, right? All that experience playing rock ball, right?
Right.
And you see those kids playing in high school, and they're doing things the right way. Right. You don't get no better than that, man. It don't get no better than that. Our kids come from a small little Delray Beach, man. You know, I look at them now sometimes, you see them doing 7-on-7 now at a young age. I'm like, man, these kids are so
far ahead. So
it's
far
crazy. Ahead. It's crazy, right?
I didn't know what 7-on-7 was.
Man, come on. The first time I heard about it, I was in high school. Right.
Right.
We didn't do that with the Rocks.
7-on-7.
What is that, right? Is that a new game? Is that soccer? What is it? So, you know, I just got to say, and I want to say thank you. You know, you're younger than me, but I want to thank you for your community involvement in Delray, for keeping the dream alive, for keeping young boys off the street straight, right? Because I know for me, you know, my dad was a preacher, and I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things, right? I had a circle around me, but even when I was out, you know, Bunt Mitchell was always there, you know.
Right.
Walt Stevens was always there, you know. Red Odom, they were always there. Guys were always there in the community, you know, that can put hands on you, can touch you, and make sure you're going around the right path. And so it's important that we do that, you know. And so I just want to applaud you, man, for your involvement in the community, Delray, because you're keeping it alive. You know, you're keeping the dream alive for a lot of young boys and a lot of young men.
Yeah, well, if the guys that are there, you know, because I never wanted to be the guy when I was at Atlantic to just hold a position constantly. Mm-hmm. And not groom guys behind me.
Right, absolutely.
Because I always wanted my players, the guy that played for me, mm-hmm. be the next coaches.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. If you ain't giving, and when I left there, it's like, okay, if it ain't my guys mm-hmm. or the guys that coach with me, mm-hmm. you need to give it to Larry. Mm-hmm. You need to give it to homegrown folks who have
a passion for it. Right.
Okay. Who love Atlantic High School and love
Durant Atlantic. Exactly.
Exactly. That understand that what the dynamics of this community is about,
mm-hmm.
and that you have to rely heavily on what type of teachings they're getting for the Rocks,
mm-hmm.
what type of development they're getting mm-hmm. there, and, you know, making sure when they come to you that you add on to what they already have.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. So it's important that we get the right people in place to make sure they teach these kids football, teaching them.
Football.
And teach them how to also stay safe, too, and healthy.
Oh, absolutely.
That's been important.
Right.
Me of lately when I start understanding the CTE and the head injury, understand, because I was reckless.
We were all reckless, man.
Right.
We were all reckless.
I didn't care. I was taking on, even in college, mm-hmm. I was taking on some linemen if I can catch them right. I would catch them right. hey, Bean gonna take you out.
You gonna take you out, exactly.
Don't slip. So,
absolutely.
Now it's like, okay, making sure your head in the right position. Not, you know, helmet to helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put your head in a certain place and making mm-hmm. sure that not only are you being safe with yourself, you're being safe with the next man that's playing.
Well, absolutely. Well, I know all I can do is tell you this, and I know what me. We played in a different generation. You know, and I remember, you know, like I said, I was a small kid. When mm-hmm. I got to college, you know, I started bringing the wood, right?
Right.
And I'm a buck 45 when I go into FSU, and I'm a buck 55 when I get drafted. A lot of people don't know that, right?
Right.
But, you know, back in those days, everybody ran the wishbone, they ran the option, and the corner was a factor in those plays, right? And so I was bringing it, man. Matter of fact, it got to the point where I thought that, you know, when you're a young man and you're able to move guys who 220, 230 and knock those guys back and knock them down, you start to feel somewhere about yourself, right?
But you also know you understand leverage.
You understand leverage. And I tell you one thing with me, you know, playing, because, you know, I played what they call a strong corner at FSU, right?
Right.
Which meant I was going to be the strong side, two receiver side, or the wide side of the field. And so if you think about the being the strong corner, playing the wide side of the field, and back in the day when they had option, the ball come down the line, tight end block, I got cloud support from way out there.
Right.
So, bro, I'm coming, right? 4.3 speed, I'm coming, because I know I'm going to need all that to collide with a guy 230, right? You know, the James Jones and all those guys. I'm coming, bro. I'm coming. OJ Anderson, I'm coming, right? And so you learn to do that. And the thing is, you want your kids now to be safe. Now, as a result of all the things I've had, you know, I got my neck fused now.
Right.
C4, 5, 6, and 7, right? Because I'm going there banging, leaving my head. I'm banging, I'm leaving my head. I'm banging, I'm leaving my head. But it was a time we played in. I got an artificial left shoulder, right? Had to get it replaced, you know, just the time of playing in. But remember, I never played the game no more than 172 pounds. And that was my last year in the league.
And I'm getting to that point with my right shoulder.
Okay.
I feel like it's about to come out a lot.
Bruh, you want to do something about it. but, you know, knowing what I know now, going back, if I had to do it all over again, I'll sign up again, Chris, because I love it, right?
Yeah.
I tell people this all the time right now. They look at me sideways, right? I say, the Falcons called me today. I'm 63 years old. And they say, well, we got a place for you. I say, I'm on the way. I tell them this. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there, but I'm going.
I always tell them I got one good play for you.
I got one play. Yeah, give me one play.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time, this show is presented by Bet Online.
Well, look, man, that's the end of my show, man. Chris, man, right. You've been an awesome guest. Thank you, brother. Appreciate
absolutely.
You, man. Hey, absolutely. Love you, man.
Absolutely love you, bro.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you like the show tonight, comment, share with your friends. We had our guy on the night, the legend from Delray Beach, Mr. Chris Bean. Some people call him Whirlpool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got plenty of names out there.
Well, thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for watching the show. Chris, thank you again, bro. Peace.
All right, take care.
What is your favorite moment from football history? What teams and players are you cheering on? And who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.